Descending from atop the highest mountains of pop culture and delivering the knowledge of media you seek, this is the Geek Peek Podcast.
Greetings, friends. Welcome back to the Geek Peek Podcast, nexus of all pop culture knowledge, news, and recommendations. This week, we're covering something we all take a little time to catch at least a few segments every year, Shark Week. Updates on a few upcoming films, TV, and games that have us pretty excited, and we're also going to be giving you the official Geek Peek drinking game. My name is Chris Melvin. I'm joined by my two co-hosts, Trent Sherrod and Brandon Lanis. Trent, how you doing this week?
Very good. Very good. Sitting here sipping on my adult beverage, looking out at the gloomy rain clouds that were way worse than this hurricane Isaias that we were supposed to have over on the east coast of Florida. It was kind of a letdown.
Is it bad that now that I live on the west coast of Florida, I didn't even know the name of that one. I knew it was coming, but I was like, oh yeah, storm.
I'll be honest. I knew it was coming. I didn't know the name of it because it was so small. It was so small time that I couldn't even like get bothered about it. I even went outside my back porch that night when it was supposed to hit to check it out and see if anything was actually popping off. Nothing. A little bit of drizzle. That's it. Pathetic storm. You're weak.
We did not get a single rainstorm. And then yesterday and today has been insane with crazy thunder and lightning. I was kind of disappointed. I was like,
Florida yes. Man does not
beginning of the
fear.
Season. Oh, dude, now that I don't live like on the straight up coast in Melbourne and Jacksonville takes me like an hour to get to the beach. That's how far west I am. And that's how big Jacksonville is. So I ain't scared of no bitch ass hurricane no mo.
It's what I like to hear. It's how we breed them down here in Florida.
Brandon, what are you sipping
on? Today, I have a Bold City Killer Whale Cream Ale. I figure since we're going to be jumping into the ocean for this episode, I'd have something kind of themed around that. And I'm also repping our state, Florida. So we got this nice light golden ale. Let me get a little sipsy here. It's pretty sweet. It's very sweet, actually. Got the it's got some aromas of mild hops, very bready on the taste. But this is one that I've gone back to a few times now. I'm a big fan of this one.
Damn, I wish that I would have picked a shark themed drink. Actually, I do have.
I could have picked Kraken rum and put myself in the deep.
True.
We
fucked up. It's like killer whale is pretty close to shark, so I think that's passable.
Yeah, that sounds good. I'm going to have to try that. And what brewery did you say that was from?
That's Bold City.
Bold? All right. Well, you heard it here. And it's pretty good?
Oh, it's delicious. Yeah, it's very sweet. I really like this, actually. It's sweet and it's light. So this is one you can have a session for a while.
I like it. Trent, what are you sipping on?
I am sipping a nice Grey Goose Moscow Mule out of my copper cup.
I love a Moscow Mule. That's good stuff.
It has to be out of the copper cup.
Oh yeah,
100%.
Oh dude, yeah. I had the copper cup frozen, filled it up to the brim with ice, got me about two shots of Grey Goose in there, filled it up with some ginger beer. I didn't have any lime, so I went with lemon. Okay. Because I bought lemon yesterday for the shrimp that I cooked. So
sounds like a good time.
I love it.
Anytime I hear anybody talk about a copper cup, I always think of my friend Doug. He has a specific one that he's had throughout like all of college that he calls mug. and he like lives for that thing and mules. It's so hilarious. Shout out, Doug.
Dude, I have a friend, Chris, that we had like a bro weekend up here in Jacksonville recently, and he straight up drank my whole handle of, well, no, it was a whole bottle of Kettle One or something. There was only like a little bit drank out of it. He poured basically the whole bottle of vodka in the biggest Moscow Mule copper cup you've ever seen in your life. Like, I would have to use two hands to hold it. And dumped like six ginger beers in there and drank the whole.
Jesus.
He definitely drank 3/4 of a bottle of vodka to the face and played poker. I was gonna
say, that's the guy you want on your freaking beer fest team.
Oh, Chris, Melvin, you met him at the bachelor party. Yeah.
All right. So let me tell you what I'm drinking on. I'm also drinking Florida Local.
Nice.
This week, I'm drinking on Old St. Pete whiskey. It's a good corn whiskey. It's got a nice wink and sunshine on the bottle, old school style. And it is small batch sweet corn whiskey. So it's got a bit of a kick to it, but it's still got some sweetness as well. And that is, I'm trying to find the percentage on here. I don't even know where the percentage is. 44%, excuse me. And yeah, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good one. I was not expecting it to be as good as it is, to be honest. I didn't even know they distilled whiskey in St. Pete. So shout out Old St. Pete Whiskey. Let's go.
Hell yeah.
Just a little bit away from me. It's a local.
Yeah, so I just looked it up. Bold City. Apparently that's right up awesome. In your neck of the woods, Trent. It's in Jacksonville. Yeah?
I've been there. Right. Yeah. Christian, all of our mutual friends, Christian Hokia, he took me there.
Nice.
Like right when I moved here.
Ooh. Hell yeah.
And then last week I actually went to Intuition.
I love Intuition.
IPA. I went to their brewery last week. They're right across from the Jag Stadium. So they have several good breweries up here. Wicked Barley.
Yeah.
They got a good beer.
I-10 is one of my favorites. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
All right. Well, let's go ahead and get right into the news. And before then, let me just plug our social media here. Instagram and Twitter at Geek Peak Pod. Check us out. Facebook.com/Geek Peak Podcast. And show us to a friend. Recommend us, please. Word of mouth is the best way to share us. So coming in first, we have, you guys heard the news about Mulan, Disney's live action.
Unfortunately.
I'm so
for the listeners out there, $29.99 September 4th digital release. They're going to do a select theater release depending on your area, but $30 to stream it in addition to your Disney Plus subscription.
I was about to say, it is, we very specifically have to mention this. This will not be video on demand. You cannot go get this off of Vudu or YouTube. It will be available only on Disney Plus for $30 after you already pay. What is the, I don't know. I have Disney Plus. I don't know what the subscription is, like $15 a month or something.
Yeah, that sounds right.
That's highway robbery though. $30 on top of that to watch a remake of a movie that's been out for almost 2 decades now. Give me a break.
I love your stipulation of like to watch this remake.
Here's why I think it's a stupid remake. First of all, I heard there's no Mushu. With that, automatically I'm out. And I also heard you're not doing the songs, which Mulan has some of my favorite Disney songs. So
yep, it's $70 annually for Disney Plus, $6.99 a month.
Okay,
now
it's not that bad. $6.99
is not as bad, but still. What they should have done is released it on all streaming like video rental platforms for $30, and then you get like a 50% discount through Disney Plus if you're a subscriber.
Yep. Yeah.
And drove, you know, more what I mean?
Traffic.
Because then you could you can entice people to say, well, I could rent it for once for $30 on YouTube, or I could get it for $15 on Disney Plus, get 1 month subscription for $7. And then all of a sudden, boom, Disney has another subscriber that will probably forget to cancel yeah, cancel their Disney subscription.
Took the route of being like, hey, we're big dick. You're going to pay for this regardless. So And I don't know.
I won't be paying for it, but
exactly. Well, I think they also assume people are gonna like get together and rent it together as like a group.
They know
maybe with four people. I know exactly. That's what I'm saying. If it was not a pandemic and they want to do that, okay, I would understand that, like a pay-per-view event kind of deal. But yeah, no, we're not supposed to be gathering in like groups of four. I guess between two people, it's more reasonable, $15, but I don't know. It's not the same as going to the theater and seeing it. And I absolutely want to see, for example, Christopher Nolan's Tenet. I need to see that in theaters. Like, I'm not trying to watch that on demand at home.
That's something you can go see at like IMAX.
Exactly. So I don't know. It's kind of a bummer. I was looking forward to seeing that movie, but I totally agree with you guys. It not having the music, that is a huge, that's a shit show. I don't know what's going on there.
That one was not one I was going to go to the movies and see anyway, so I'm definitely not paying $30 to rent it.
All right. Next up, Trent, why don't you hit him with this? This one's cool.
I was about to say, speaking of money grabs, Netflix purchased a Reddit horror movie, like a script, for $1 million. So got news from GameSpot. Netflix has spent over $1 million on the rights to a popular horror story from the No Sleep subreddit titled My Wife and I Bought a Ranch. It's about an ex-Marine and his wife who purchase a ranch and find out that there's a malevolent force at work. And yeah, I guess it's super highly regarded in that subreddit community. So these people who just posted this on the internet got a $1 million payday.
I like that.
Damn. Yeah, for real. Just like chilling, posting on a subreddit. All right. That's what we're doing now.
I think I've seen enough horror and consumed enough horror media.
I also want to talk
horror story. So Netflix at me.
I'm looking forward to seeing how that turns out. But I also feel like Netflix will literally fund anything on Earth right now. Like there even if it's just remotely interesting.
Do you remember that South Park episode where it's like they called into Netflix like, hello, this is Netflix. You're greenlit.
Well, they have the Rick and Morty episode too, where Morty
the spy episode.
Sells them on the idea of like a heist movie.
Yeah. We'll see how that plays out. We'll keep you covered once more information comes out. But Trent, hit him with the next one.
Yeah, so speaking of streaming, HBO Max. Oh, actually, this might be Showtime. I'm going to have to double check this, but a new miniseries, Showtime? Okay. Yeah, we've got a new miniseries coming out called The Comey Rule. So we've got Jeff Daniels playing Jim Comey. You'll remember Jeff Daniels from, he had another HBO or Showtime show. I think it was called The Newsroom. And also from Dumb and Dumber. And then Brendan Gleeson, who plays Mad-Eye Moody in the Harry Potter films, he plays Trump. And you guys, do yourselves a favor, go Google this trailer. It's like 50 seconds. His impersonation of Trump is spot on. It's scary. It is so freaking good. At the very end, there's a scene and me and Samantha looked at each other afterwards and we were like, did they just do the face swap on that with Trump? Because it's incredible. And it's not the funny kind of impersonation Alec Baldwin. It's like really uncanny. Spot on. I can't.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I can't wait to watch this show.
Yeah. I'm going to definitely have to check that out. I don't even know how, like, is Showtime its own subscription now or like, what?
Yeah, but you can do like an add-on through Hulu. I will be getting a free trial to Showtime to watch that and then canceling because there's nothing else good on Showtime.
All right. Well, next up we've got, I'm going to be talking about An American Pickle with Seth Rogen. Have you guys seen this popping up anywhere from, it's on HBO Max?
I've only heard you mention it once.
It dropped today. So it's available today, which we're recording this on August 6th. So by the time you guys hear this,
so the description of this movie is an immigrant worker falls into a vat of pickles and is brined for 100 years. The brine preserves him perfectly, and when he emerges in present-day Brooklyn, he finds he hasn't aged a day. And it's got Jorma Taccone from The Lonely Island. It's got Seth Rogen. It's got Sarah Snook, who I believe she's in Succession. Double check that. Yep, she's in Succession. She's awesome. Yeah, so right there, three pretty great actors. And I don't know. It looks weird as hell. I'm not going to lie to you. But it looks pretty funny. I think Seth Rogen plays himself as well as a like the dude who fell in the pickle vat.
1930s
yeah,
version.
Yeah, he himself. Plays yeah. two characters, I guess, in this movie. I'm looking at one of the reviews though from Variety is a comedy too contrived to be convincing and too formulaic to be funny.
Oh no. Like, I mean, what was the last thing Seth Rogen was in? It's been a while. Probably like The Interview was the last big one, I think.
Yeah.
No, he's been in stuff, man. He's got to have been in a bunch of stuff since The Interview.
I can't think of anything like super high. I'm sure he has.
You guys,
stuff, but not high profile stuff, at least.
I'm just super curious about this. So go ahead and move on to the next thing and I'll jump back in.
All right. Oh, he was in Sausage Party in 2016. That was more recent.
Oh, yeah. Sausage Party. Okay. That's fair. I forgot about that one.
So up next, we're talking about Umbrella Academy season 2. If you have not caught the first season of Umbrella Academy, definitely check that show out. It's on Netflix. It's based on a comic book written for Dark Horse Comics by Gerard Way, who is the lead singer of My Chemical Romance.
Mm-hmm.
So big fan of Mr. Way. And the show is stylistically awesome. I always joke with Trent and Brandon. I'm like, it's everything that I feel like the boys should be. And they're like, they're just like, shut up. But super fun, has its moments where it's very, very dark, gets pretty deep at points. But the second season so far, I'm pretty deep into it. I think I have 2 episodes left. It has been fantastic. I'll say Netflix is like going hard in the paint on time travel. It got a lot of shows relating to time travel. So check the second season out. It's a good time. Definitely something that you're going to want to binge through. So, you know, throw it on over a weekend. Kill it.
Hell yeah.
Up next, Brandon, you got some news about Dr. Disrespect.
Yes. So we haven't even touched on this in the podcast at all because I felt like there wasn't enough information to really talk about it. But the huge Twitch streamer, Dr. Disrespect, was banned from Twitch permanently about a month and a half, maybe 2 months ago now. And there was this big like campaign trying to figure out, oh, what happened? What happened to Dr. Disrespect? What happened to Doc? Where is he? Is he going to be doing something else? Is he going to be moving to a new platform? And it's been radio silence until today. Or I think it was yesterday. He actually tweeted something. And he just tweeted a random music video yesterday. And then today when I was just searching around on YouTube, I came across this giant stream that was going on for Dr. Disrespect with 330,000 people just sitting in this lobby room waiting for him to come on. So it was crazy to see. And he was getting a bunch of subscribers, Jesus, donations out the ass, like constantly as all these people are flooding in. And then a tweet comes out saying he'll be live tomorrow on this platform, YouTube. It's YouTube, that is, at noon PST. So the doc is back.
Dr. Disrespect, for those of you who don't know that name necessarily, he's the dude who wears like the reflective 80s sunglasses and has a mullet and a mustache. Mm-hmm. And he's wearing like a full like tactical vest every time he streams. He's fucking hilarious. Like, I'm personally a big fan of the guy.
I love the dude. Just his whole persona and the character that he puts on for his streams.
It's so good.
It's so unique. And he just goes one step beyond any other streamer that I've ever watched. Just how much production he has. So I'm glad to see he's coming back. I'm glad to see that there's people out there that are already flooding into his new channel and excited to see what he's got coming
they
up.
Still, like, there still has never been information about what happened either, which is weird.
Nothing. It's all very hush-hush, but I don't know. I'm assuming at this point we're just not going to hear anything. Maybe it was like just some corporate stuff that's, I don't know, that's not going to be leaked to the public.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Next up, we got some information about J. Cole, who some of y'all might know is my favorite rapper, one of my favorite artists in general. Mm-hmm. And have you guys heard about him potentially trying out for the Detroit Pistons?
What?
that's absolutely ludicrous. Dude,
so I don't know, he like shot a thing for Puma. It was an ad, and he's just shooting threes, I think, in the background the whole time.
That's some bullshit that a celebrity would fucking think that they can do. Like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to.
That's some Michael Jordan going over to baseball kind of shit.
It is so much more incredibly. It's not even. It's not even close. Like, I'm not going to pull the stats out, but the amount of people that dedicate their whole lives to trying to go to the NBA and never make
it. Apparently, he's been doing training for, I guess, to do a NBA workout, but I don't know, dude. That would be awesome if he ends up on the
precedent. That's for sure. That's crazy.
He's 35. So, you know, him scrimmaging with.
I want to see him go up against Zion and just get his shit right. I do like J. Cole. I like his music. But this is the epitome of just hubris, in my opinion.
Yeah, no. Also,
then again, I've never seen him.
Apparently, the Pistons are horrible, too. So, like, it may just be publicity.
Oh, yeah. I could see that.
So, I don't know. Love J. Cole. Interesting. We have a follow-up that Brandon needs to talk about, a redemption.
Yes, so a little final bit of news here. So after we talked about the SpongeBob anime that was released on YouTube last week by Narmak, he actually received a strike against it, and it was taken down by YouTube because it went against their guidelines, because apparently they thought that it was geared towards children watching it, even though Narmak came out later on with a statement saying that he specifically said it's not made for children. This is not children's content. I don't know why I got striked, but he was worried because it was a second strike. And if you get three strikes on YouTube, your channel is deleted. So there was a big grassroots effort. A bunch of other creators on the platform came out and were trying to bring justice to this because it's a great piece of art, and it's a shame to see someone put all that effort into making something and just to be taken away for some bots flagging his video. But there's a redemption arc.
Yes.
There's a redemption arc. YouTube contacted Narmak, found out that it was an issue on their side, re-uploaded the video, and all is well in the world again. It's a beautiful thing. The strike was taken away from him, so he's no longer in range of getting one more strike and getting his channel deleted, which is all good news.
Nice.
I love a happy ending on that. Oh, finally a win on YouTube. Like, I feel like that community, community is great, but Jesus, the infrastructure is just like
against, is garbage.
Yeah, it's against the creators for sure, which is a bummer.
FYI, the two biggest films Seth Rogen has been in since the interview are Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising, and Pumbaa and The Lion King.
I didn't even see The Lion King, to be honest.
He's been in some other ones. The Lion King. The Long Shot. Really? I thought The Lion King was good.
I just haven't seen it. I don't have anything against it, but Brandon's a hater on the live action remakes, which I understand.
I am.
He is. Aladdin was my favorite as a kid, and that one, I loved so much of it. Other parts, I was like, oh God, what'd you do? But
my biggest issue with Lion King in particular,
it is what it is.
It's not even live action. It's all CG anyways. So you can't call it a live action movie. And all the characters show so much emotion in the animated movie. But on live action, you're trying to make it look realistic. So it's just a lion like talking and like, oh, it's stressed out, but it's just a lion. Like
that part was, I will say that part was weird. Like, for example, John Oliver as Zazu. It's just a very realistic looking toucan with its beak moving.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that.
And Simba talking as a kid, the eyebrows don't raise or they don't smile or anything, you know? So it was kind of weird, but overall, I thought it wasn't awful. It was pretty good. Anyway, we're getting away from the point. This episode is not themed on lions. It's
themed on sharks, damn it.
Disney films.
Circle back. Okay.
Yes.
Trent, why are we talking about it?
Because on Sunday, August 9th, we have our annual Shark Week. So we have a couple of movies we're going to talk about. We're not really going to touch on Jaws too much. If you want to hear about that, listen to our Summer of Spielberg episode. But we did some good prep on this. Me and Chris in particular watched a couple of movies. So we'll go down the line on those that we've watched. We've got the official Geek Peak Shark Week drinking game. And then we've got a couple of good shark hypotheticals for you. So let's start with the movies that we watch. So one of the biggest holes in my shark film knowledge is Deep Blue Sea. I had actually never seen that, much like Chris had never seen Groundhog Day. So I watched that. That's on HBO Max right now. I watched that last night and every bit of it was amazing.
How did you react to the Samuel L. Jackson scene in particular?
So it's funny. While it was happening, first of all, you think water moves fast? Ice moves quicker.
What a wonderful line.
I was like, where the fuck is he going with this? And then he goes into a monologue about being in an avalanche and how they had to, you know, band together to survive and they need to stop fighting. But as soon as the camera started panning out and you see the long shot of the room, I literally take my hands, you know how like you mouth that somebody's talking, I just open and close them. And like right when I did that, the shark just came out and ate him, ate him whole.
It's such a shock because Samuel Jackson has been such a big actor and this movie was out in the peak of his like fame. So it just take him out so swiftly in it. Like
I would have been shocked watching it in 2000, sure. But I saw that coming a mile away.
Dude, I love this movie, the LL Cool J parrot relationship. That's very much slept on.
It is.
I think that the sharks in Deep Blue Sea are also some of the scariest sharks ever portrayed on film because they're hyper intelligent and they're actively hunting the people that are encaged with them.
Dude, that's so Trent and I were chatting a little bit. I got his first impression just before we started recording this, and we both agreed that this is exact Planet of the Apes ripped off this whole like inject the shark with something to cure cancer that actually makes it super intelligent.
No, it's not even cancer. It's specifically Alzheimer's. They both used Alzheimer's, like Planet of the Apes. Somebody watched Deep Blue Sea and they're like, oh shit, what if this is the way to make the apes smart in the reboot?
We found it. We can make the movies now.
Brilliant.
I mean, both characters' motivations are exactly the same. Like the female scientist in this, her direct motivation is her father has dementia. And James Franco in Planet of the Apes, direct motivation, his father has dementia. Like, it's just
true.
Not even that. It's a parallel universe, dude.
It's the same story, but in another alternate dimension. Stop it. I can't go back to the time episode.
Anyways, yeah, I love Deep Blue Sea. I'm really happy that you enjoyed it. What were like some of your biggest takeaways for your first time viewing it?
So it was very good as just like a horror film in general. There was not like a lot of quiet open water and then sharks attacking. Like it just didn't, once it got going, it never stopped. So it was entertaining, very predictable, a lot of just classic cringy B horror movie humor. One thing that was absolutely ridiculous that set the tone off for the movie right off the bat is Thomas Jane, who plays the original Punisher. At the very beginning, when Samuel Jackson, who is like the benefactor of the science program that they're running, he gets out to sea onto their rig and the guy is just in the water and a shark's like hunting him. And right before it bites him, he does some Aquaman shit and turns to the side and then grabs the shark's fin and is like riding him through the water and then literally reaches in the shark's mouth to get a license plate that's like stuck in between his teeth. And I was like, okay, so that's what this movie is. Absolutely ridiculous.
Oh, I love it. Yeah, that's 2000s action movies for you, baby.
Hell yeah. It's up there with the greats for sure.
Oh, and then when the scientist that was, I forget what his name is Skarsgård or Alex.
Oh, yeah.
He was in,
I'll look his name up. Stellan, maybe the older guy.
Yeah. He was in the, Avengers movies. He was like Thor. The scientist that got taken by Loki the original Avengers movie. So yeah, he's like, they get successful gene repair, CRISPR stuff going with the shark, and he's having a celebratory smoke and gets too close to the shark pit where it's under sedation, and it just out of nowhere bites his whole fucking arm off. And then they try and get a helicopter to come and airlift him away. And of course, dude, I'm just now realizing Jurassic Park ripped off Deep Blue Sea too. Jurassic World, where so
Deep Blue Sea has been more influential in media than people realize.
Yeah, dude, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So yeah, they're trying to save this guy from a helicopter.
They're life flighting him out with a wind helicopter.
Yeah, and there's a crazy storm, and he gets halfway up, and the winch breaks, and then it falls back into the water, and the shark grabs onto him, drags the helicopter into the rig, it explodes, and then everybody else is still underwater in the chamber that they were in before, and the shark is literally holding this guy by the little stretcher that he's on and pummeling towards the glass, and just makes the guy face plant right into the unbreakable glass and kills him, like right in front of his wife.
Yeah, that was demented, dog.
That's when I realized, yo, these sharks are fucked up. They're
like, like, guys, yeah, they didn't want to just kill them. They wanted to torture them. But like, yeah. I said, my favorite part is the relationship between LL Cool J and his parrot, and him just vibing, trying to survive the sharks, not even knowing what's going on, and ended up being one of two, right? Him and the Punisher?
Yeah, the female lead dies at the end. But let's move on from Deep Blue Sea. So what else did you guys watch before this? Or what other notable movies did you want to talk about?
So I actually have two that are very similar in terms of how they're set up, in which it's like vacationers deciding to go on different trips to go explore the ocean. Like, one's a scuba trip and one's a cage diving trip. So the first one I'll talk about is The Scuba Trip, which is Open Water. This film came out in 2003, and it's loosely based off of a true story from Tom and Eileen Lonergan, who went on a scuba diving trip at the Great Barrier Reef and were left there. So they're left in shark-infested waters.
That is my nightmare, in the middle of the way.
That is 100% my nightmare.
No, that is... I was about to say, yeah. That's Brandon's nightmare, whose goal is his one life goal, never be like eaten by something.
I'm not even afraid necessarily of being eaten by anything else, but sharks, I'm definitely, I would say, phobic of sharks. I think they're really cool and I'm super interested in them, but I am terrified of them.
Well, the way the movie is set up is kind of leads you into a false sense of security, because they're fine for most of the movie. They're just kind of trying to figure out how to get back to shore safely. What's their best option? How are they going to survive out in this open water? Until about midway through, which is when the sharks get introduced and they start circling around them. Oh my God. It's the worst possible situation I could imagine being in.
So I haven't seen that movie, but in that real story, did either of them get attacked or bitten or anything by sharks?
You know what? I'm actually not sure.
Did it happen in the movie?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Do they even get out? Like,
it's been a while since I've seen it, but I don't believe they made it out in the movie.
Yeah, I feel like they died in that. It's been forever since I saw that film, but... Yeah, that's one that's more realistic, I feel like, than most other shark films we're talking about.
It's not hyper intelligent sharks hunting down people. It's just sharks, and you're in their territory. You're in their waters and you're just floating around dying. So, of course, they're going to be interested in you.
The shark took down the chopper.
Yeah, nothing crazy like that.
I like
it.
Yeah, I haven't.
Go on.
I was just going to say, I haven't seen that one, but I have seen the cage diving one, which this is in my like top five shark.
So this is 47 meters down. This one came out in 2017, so it's a lot more recent than Open Water. And it's about two girls that decide to go cage diving off the coast of, I think it's Mexico is where they're at, into shark-infested waters to get a better look at them. And something happens, and their cage line gets broken, and they ended up sinking all the way down to the bottom of the ocean to the seafloor.
How far?
I believe it was 47 meters.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
You wouldn't know it. They don't really say it too much, but
yeah.
fun movie trivia fact, 47.
But so the main plot of it is these two girls trying to figure out how they're going to get back to the surface while they're being surrounded by sharks. And these sharks are not like the ones in Open Water. These ones are actively hunting them, it seems like, the entire time.
Also, for anybody that hasn't seen that movie or doesn't know anything about just scuba diving in general, one of the problems is they can't just float back up to the top real quick, because you'll get the bends and your fucking like lungs will
explode. A big point of that in the movie also.
So they're being hunted by sharks. Oh yeah, it's like one of the main points in the movie as to why they can't get up, because if they go too slow, they're shark food. But if they go too fast, they're dead anyway.
Also, one fun part about this one is it's great white sharks.
Mm-hmm. The T-Rex of the sea.
Yeah, baby. And there's multiple of them. And all the rescue teams that get sent down to save them also get absolutely eviscerated by the three. I think there's three great white sharks. But one of the best shots of that whole movie is when the chick pops the flare. And they're just...
Yeah.
Oh yeah, and they're all around.
That's a duty in my wetsuit moment.
Dude,
they also not that major spoilers.
There's just something
the descent moment where they have one of the girls try to escape and get to the top, but it's just one big hallucination and she's still down in the cage just because she's running out of oxygen, which is
horrible.
Oh god, horrifying.
I loved that part, man. Yeah. I thought that made
it
the movie.
It was horrible to think about. You're just like, oh my god, yeah. There's no happy ending here. This person
see all
dead.
This hope, and it just dies instantly when she realized that she just wakes back up in the cage at the bottom of the ocean again. Ugh. No, thank you.
That's also I have a question. Terrifying. What would you rather happen? Be get left?
Would you guys actually be interested in cage diving at some point? Not together, obviously, but just at some point in your life, do you think you would ever want to go cage diving?
I for sure would.
I would.
So I have a massive fear of sharks and deep water for the most part. But at the same time, I think it would be really cool, because I also think sharks are extremely fascinating, super cool animals. I think I would do it, honestly.
Same.
It would take a lot, but I would do it.
I wouldn't do it for the sole reason that it's actually, number one, it's pretty expensive. But even if you take the cost out of it, I've been in the water with sharks before, and it's like the most fucking visceral, terrifying thing that will ever happen to you. Although I still go out to the beach, but I will never purposefully get in the water with sharks.
We're not going to be, if you're going to do it, you're going to pay the right price. You're not going to go off the coast of Mexico in some random boat that it's a rickety old boat with a rickety old cage. You're paying for a nice trip.
That's the experience I'm paying for.
Oh, that's right. All right, fair enough.
I want a survival horror experience where I almost die, probably do die.
I would be so nervous. It would ruin my vacation too. I'd be so nervous knowing that was happening.
I think I'd be nervous, but super excited at the same time.
Yeah, that would be.
That's so funny that I would not do it, but Brandon, whose number one goal in life is to not be
eaten by
anything,
I trust my guides enough,
would do it.
I'm not going to be eaten in that situation.
You know, you guys have seen those videos where those big ass sharks have gotten in those cages, right?
I want a flare gun. I've seen Jaws. I know how to stop them.
There you go.
So here's the other question. Would you rather be in the 47 meters down scenario where the cage drops down there, or would you rather be snorkeling and then realize that your tour left you in the middle of the Great Barrier Reef?
Bruh.
That is tough. I think I would rather be left in the Great Barrier Reef, because at least then I can breathe until something attacks me. they're down there like drowning basically because they're running low on oxygen the entire time and they don't have a way to get out. They're trapped. So at least in open water,
yeah,
you have a small chance to swim to somewhat safety.
Yeah, in one scenario, you can be completely safe from the sharks, but you have the time ticking down on your oxygen. The other scenario, no problem, not drowning, but you're completely exposed to the sharks.
Yeah.
I'd rather die from like blood loss than die from drowning. Drowning is like everybody, I feel in the movies, they describe it as peaceful, but anybody that's ever had a near drowning experience says it's one of the worst ways to go. It's like everything on your body is in fire. Yeah, no, it's bad.
No, thanks. I'll take the open water.
Yeah, I'll pass on the big drink, I think.
Same.
Next up, we're going to talk about The Shallows with Blake Lively, Ryan Reynolds' wife.
Yummy.
Jeez, couldn't say that. And,
what a couple.
Yeah, beautiful.
What a couple.
So I watched The Shallows in prep for this episode, rewatched actually. Fantastic movie. I think it's great. It's a lot of like Blake Lively surfing in the beginning, but she's really pretty and the scenery around is gorgeous. The cinematography is awesome. Overall, I would recommend seeing it if you're into shark movies. It's a more serious one and it's got some crazy shit that goes down. The people,
I would say, as far as cinematography,
it's just very well made.
One of the best of some of the shark movies.
Yeah, it was nominated for best cinematography of the year. It was released.
Hey, I believe it. It's really well done.
Yeah, and it's not. It doesn't necessarily do the cheap like you don't see it and then it's there kind of deal. You know, it's much more like I don't know. You see it for a minute and it's swimming and the CGI looks great. There's some dope moments with her. Because she's like a med school student, so she has to do like emergency surgery on her leg after she first gets a bit. Right. It's really good. I love the scene where the drunk Mexican guy who is passed out on the beach wakes up. She wakes him up by screaming. She's off like on a rock during low tide. And homie sees her bag. She points to him. She's like, call the police or call like somebody. And he walks over and picks her bag up and starts walking. And then he sees her surfboard in the water. And she's like, you can have it all. Just please don't come in the water. And he comes out in the water and just gets bit in half, like immediately. So brutal. Also, when she finishes the shark off, woo, what a move. So, yeah, that's a real good shark movie. Highly recommend it. Blake Lively. Surfer chick, beautiful lady, and also med school extraordinaire and shark killer. Next up, Trent, why don't you hit us with a personal favorite of mine, one we had a great drinking game to in college.
I want to preface this with I worked at Regal movie theaters when this movie came out, and so I got to see this movie like at least 10 times while it was playing in theaters. I love this film.
So the great 2012 film we're referring to is Piranha Double D. And then you can imagine what the double D is under on the picture for the film. Just take a Google if you want. But this is such like in the vein of slasher horror films. This has got to be the closest thing, maybe Shark Night, but this one is the closest to that in terms of just pure, absolute, out of this world violence and gratuitous nudity. It is an amazing movie. And we did do like a drinking game to this in college and had a ton of people over and nobody was.
This isn't even Shark Week, by the way.
I say
just like it's so good and kind of fits the shark genre that we had to bring it into this.
It's close enough that it's perfect. It's
I love this film.
When I say gratuitous nudity, I mean soft core. Like there is some just
debauchery.
I don't want to get too graphic. It is. Yeah, like filming on a really nice yacht in the water, glass boat where you can see people swimming underneath and doing other things. But there's got to be like maybe 5 minute incremental points in the movie where you go without seeing nudity. The violence is also gratuitous. Ving Rhames is in this film, and I love him. I've always liked him in the Mission Impossible
series. Also in Dawn of the Dead.
Oh, yes. Very good in Dawn of the Dead. Pulp Fiction as well. But we just wanted to give a little shout out to that. So I watched Piranha 3DD last night, actually. A little bit more toned down on the gratuitous nudity. I'd say
the regular nudity.
It's centered
around... Yeah.
Oh, the violence is still there. Yeah. It's centered around the guy that plays Todd Packer making, he has a water park called the Big Wet. And the whole appeal is that there's an adults only section with just topless girls and all the lifeguards are topless and everything.
Wow. Yeah. Piranha 3D, definitely a must watch during Shark Week.
It's a modern classic.
No, Piranha Double D. Yeah. Wait. We got to give the right Geek Peak recommendation. You guys. You gotta watch Piranha
Double D. I thought Double D was the sequel.
No, it's Piranha Double D and then Piranha 3 Double D. I know, it's confusing.
Excuse me for my ignorance there, my bad.
3 Double D is a direct sequel, though, because Ving Rhames makes another appearance. So, and I don't even know if there's an original Piranha.
I think there was, but it's an older film, and I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's like a classic, you know, animal horror film.
Oh, yeah, 1978.
That might be on our old school horror movies watch list. Yeah. So next up, we've got Shark Night, which I just watched right before this episode. Ridiculous movie. I was telling Trent, I feel like it's basically a slasher film, but instead of someone with a knife, it's sharks.
I don't think I've ever even heard of Shark Night.
It's on Netflix. It's dumb as hell. Watch it for sure.
It's not that
watch
bad.
Watch it for sure.
It's not that bad.
No, it's like it's a well-made sea movie. Like sea horror film.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of these shark movies we love because of how bad they're. I mean, same thing with some of the old really campy horror movies that we love. It's because they're campy and just a little bit out there and they don't take themselves too seriously. That's definitely Shark Night. True.
There's a reason a lot of Dream Warriors over many of the other Freddy Krueger movies.
There's a lot of boobies and a lot of booty in this movie. And it's a lot of like young, beautiful people and a lot of them getting just wrecked by different sharks. So I would say it's worth the watch. It's more of like a sillier, campier shark movie, which we didn't even really put too many of those on our list that we were going to talk about, like Sharknado or Shark and Saw Women's Prison Massacre.
Yeah.
Which must be mentioned. But we're just going to go ahead and move on from Shark Night. It's an interesting flick. I think it's a fun little watch if you're looking for a shark movie that's kind of ridiculous, but well made. Last up on our docket is The Meg. We're not going to spend a whole lot of time on this. For me, I really, really was excited for this film. It was a little let down because I felt like it was, I don't know, it was like man versus beast as opposed to the Megalodon just crushing everything in its path. What did you guys think? Jason Statham?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. Like, it wasn't as much of a monster movie as I was hoping.
Yeah, if I'm going to watch a Megalodon, I want to see it destroying everything in its path.
Yeah, me too. So, I don't know. Kind of worth watching, but I would not necessarily say it's on the must-watch list. It's more of like an honorable mention in around like 6th. Or
when that movie was coming out, I really wanted to see it in theaters because it looked like a great shark monster movie. And for about a month, anytime that commercial would come on TV, I'd turn to Samantha and I'm like, it's a Megalodon. That's the whole scene. Like every trailer has Jason Statham saying that. Also, quick correction. I need to clarify something. You're right, Chris. The one we're talking about, the Piranha film, is Piranha 3D. That's the super gratuitous nudity one.
That's the one I saw.
Then you have Piranha 3 Double D, which is the sequel to that.
Yeah, that one is the water park one, which I did not like as much as the first one.
Yes, right. Right. The first one's directed.
Even though the first one was like absurd, it still kind of was just like better put together overall, I felt like, than the sequel.
It's just a fun watch.
For sure. For sure. For sure.
No, the first one's way better. Yeah. All right. Let's get rid of the piranhas in our
shark. Yeah, for sure.
Let's get into our Shark Week drinking game rules. The official Geek Peak rules.
Ooh, it's a good one.
Ooh, Brandon, read us the first one.
All right, so this is a big one. Every time a shark is airborne, you better be chugging that drink that you have in your hands.
Yeah, so if you're watching like sharks on Seal Island, you're getting wasted because they do a ton of slow motion sharks breaching water. You're drinking for a good 7 to 10 seconds each time.
Dude, honestly, the idea of a Shark Week drinking game, you're going to get drunk as hell when you play this, just as a heads up. So just brace yourself for that. But what's our next rule here?
We've got chug while shark is airborne. So that's like a continuous drinking. And then blood in the water. Anytime you see blood in the water, that also goes hand in hand with anytime you see a reenactment. So there's a ton of those in those Shark Week TV shows.
What other rules we got? We got shark is generally docile. Anytime that's said.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Now it's really odd because usually this is a very peaceful. Yeah,
any variant of that, like sharks normally don't attack people. Any variant of that drink.
Do you guys remember that Shark Week episode where you had like the scientist that was in the water waist deep with a bunch of bull sharks? I'm talking like 15, 20 bull sharks. And they captured on video a bull shark absolutely just eviscerating this guy's calf muscle.
But I imagine that happening.
Jesus.
No,
man. You guys haven't seen this?
Through, but I have not seen
that. That to both of us.
Dude, it was really hard for me to find on YouTube because they played that probably in like 2007 or something when you could get away with more of that stuff on the Discovery Channel. But that's the most brutal thing I've ever seen in terms of like live on camera shark attacks.
Yeah.
He comes out of the water and it straight up looks like his calf is melted.
I think that if I had to face any shark, bull shark would be on the top of my list of ones I didn't want to see out in the open because they're super aggressive.
Hell no, I'm not trying to freaking see Hell a bull shark no. ever yeah. in the water.
Not only are they super aggressive, but the fact that they go That'd into my... fresh water, no thanks, I'm good.
Is it true they have the most adredrenaline of any animal?
I've heard that also.
Testosterone, excuse
most,
me.
It's most testosterone. Yeah. It's most testosterone. Yes, it is. More than they say that the second closest is like a full grown bull. So
when
elephant
that thing bites you, it is literally dropping dick on your face.
Well, you know, there was some older episodes on Shark Week that had talked about the origination of Jaws, the original like panic up in the Cape Cod area. And what happened is what was so scary about it to them is they were being attacked in a river. So the original Jaws, like where it came from, was not the great white. It was a bull shark.
Oh, wow. Jaws was based on something real.
It was based off of a bull shark attacking people in a river that were like jumping off into the river. And so people started hunting sharks and they started blaming any shark they caught, basically. And of course, the more popular ones being the great white sharks, that's what they were kind of like throwing the blame at. But yep, that's a bull shark, boy.
Good Lord.
All right, Brandon, run through the rest of these rules of the drinking game.
So another big one, when the Jaws music plays or a similar song to the Jaws music plays, the dun, 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 dun. I'm sure you'll catch a few of those during Shark Week. We have a reenactment of a situation where one of the divers may be attacked or a situation where they went into the waters. And they don't have actual footage for it, so... Anytime there's a reenactment on screen, you drink for that. Anytime someone speaks in an Australian accent, you drink for that. Finish your drink if someone is mauled or killed by one of the sharks that's usually you're going to see in a reenactment as well. They're not going to show that on TV.
Yeah, it'll start as a reenactment sip, and then it'll be a finish your drink.
You'll finish your drink. You'll end up seeing the result of it because you'll have the actual person there, and they might be missing an arm or something, but they're not going to show it actually happen.
Honestly, I want to time travel back to like 2008 because I'm telling you that Shark Week that year was the most brutal. They had the guy getting his calf literally like ripped off this guy's leg. And then they also had the one where the girl is swimming. There's like a bunch of people swimming off of a boat that's in deep water. And they actually see a shark come up, grab her leg, bring her underwater. She's screaming the entire time. Then they show her trying to grab a broom off of a lifeboat that people are trying to give her, and she pops up, but her leg is gone. This is on video. This aired on the Discovery Channel.
That is horrifying.
I'm not like Shark Week used to be.
I'm
so
happy
much
I missed that year. I'm already horrified of sharks, so I did not need that image.
I was the kid that watched Untamed and Uncut.
Bro, I was legit afraid when I was a child. I thought there was going to be sharks in swimming pools if everybody else left and I was the only one swimming there. So I don't even want to hear it. I literally thought I was being hunted.
They're coming out of the drains.
I saw Deep Blue Sea and was like, I feel like I'm being hunted by sharks in this freaking swimming pool.
And so the final rule for our official Geek Peak Shark Week drinking game, take a shot. If a shark attack survivor, doesn't blame the shark for the attack.
Oh my god,
so you're gonna be taking lots of shots because I think every single person that's been attacked by a shark on Shark Week always comes out and says it's not the shark's fault. I was in their territory.
I would be like the one guy who'd be like,
I was in their territory,
you shark.
You just have a vengeance.
Why my leg's gone? I wasn't doing shit to you.
I was just going for a nice cool dip in the ocean.
I live here too. What's up? Oh, dude. All right. Well, next up, we've got two quick things. So I need both of you guys to do this in addition to our listeners to do this. Right now, Google salmon sharks, S-A-L-M-O-N sharks, salmon sharks. Just Google it. Just do it right now. I haven't told them about this, so you're going to get their genuine reaction on this. These are real sharks, by the way. They're like tiny. They're like tiny great white sharks.
Yeah, what the fuck?
These are kind of cute. They look like a little stuffed animal.
They're super cute. I didn't even know this existed until this week. So,
I mean, I still wouldn't want to be in the
water. Oh, no, that thing would tear you up, but yeah.
All right. Now, indulge me. Look up goblin shark.
I've seen this, but I'm going to look again. These things are ugly as hell.
That nose is
scary. How does something like that exist on
apparently they live in deep water off the coast of Japan. Ugh.
It literally looks like a swordfish with the alien tongue from the alien movies coming out of it. That's what it looks like.
They were bonkers.
All right, so now that you've indulged both of us, I have to ask, what is your guy's favorite shark? Brandon, you go first.
My favorite shark let's be real. It's got to be the great white. Easily the most impressive shark in the game. It's the only one that you ever see like breaching water constantly, taking down seals. I think one of the coolest things about great whites also is that if they see an island full of seals, they actually like will surface above the water and look and see where their prey is camping out at and circle that island until they come into the water. And the way that they attack their prey from coming up from below them. I don't know. I think the great white is unbeatable.
He's a big boy.
Great white is my first love when it comes to sharks, for sure. Dude, whenever you see them breaching the water biting something, it's just so terrifying because you see their gums. Like they're literally like their mouth peels back and you can see their gums along with just those fucking
Lips peeling back is so unsettling.
Oh, it's so creepy. And they have just the black. I've got to give an honorable mention to the tiger shark, though, because those things look freaking sweet.
I would like to give an honorable mention also to the hammerhead shark. Such a cool shark. The fact that they have like basically 3D vision, because they have the best vision of any of the sharks and the best electroreceptors because of the way their snout shaped. They can turn on a dime, and the way that their eyes are positioned on their head, they can see completely around them at all times, which is super cool.
Is it weird that the hammerhead is the least scary of the major big sharks to me?
They're not known to be super aggressive, to be fair.
You can grab his head and like wrangle him. You ain't grabbing smooth.
Yeah, I'm like, yo, you're a little.
They're generally docile.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never heard of like a hammerhead attack, and their mouths look really small too.
All right, so let me tell you guys what my favorite shark is. So my favorite shark personally, and I don't even necessarily consider it a shark because it's not really, is the whale shark, but that's more so, that's like the largest spectacle of a shark I've ever seen. I saw it at the Atlanta Aquarium. Highly recommend.
I want to go
it
there.
It is so, so big. It's so cool. It's so worth it. If you're in Atlanta, you have to go. They have an entire glass wall room where you walk in, and I'm talking like six stories tall, I think.
I've been there before, and I know exactly the room you're talking about, and I was really drunk with my buddy Carlos, and when we saw the whale sharks, we started just going, hell no. You know, the Dory from Finding Nemo? People are just like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's always school children in that room. So it's always fun to watch that thing go by. And there's just like little tiny.
It's a spectacle.
Yeah, it's awesome. That is such a cool room. But yeah, so whale shark. But if you don't really consider that necessarily a normal shark, I'm a huge fan of the great white. But since that's been talked about, I'll go with the Mako. The Mako shark.
I do like a Mako shark. Yeah.
Yeah. The Mako shark is super dope. I feel like the Mako is designed for like speed and just coming in and wrecking you immediately, like super quickly out of nowhere.
The teeth on the Mako shark, dude, those things are some of the most menacing, intimidating looking things I've ever seen.
Yeah. It's sketchy. So, anyways. That's favorite sharks from the Geek Peak. And then next up, Brandon, you got some game news for us?
Yeah, let's get into a little bit of game news before we close it out. So Hearthstone just today released their newest expansion, Skullamance Academy, which is based off of one of the dungeons in World of Warcraft, Skullamance. So in the game, it's a place that has been corrupted and is turned into a school for necromancers to perfect raising undead and creating a plague to wipe out all of life on Azeroth. Hearthstone generally takes a lighter tone from the Warcraft universe. So what they did with it is they made it a school similar to Harry Potter, where it's a bunch of people learning magic from it. And they introduced some new mechanics with this expansion. They're making dual class cards. So you can play cards that are specific to like warrior paladin or mage rogue. So it's going to shake up the meta a lot. I'm pretty excited to start playing that.
I want to jump in and just say, for those of you who don't know what Hearthstone is, it's a card game from Blizzard. Yep. And it's card all done on, it's like all mobile. So and it's free. The whole game is free. So if you're into card games, like you like Yu-Gi-Oh or Magic or Pokemon, you ever liked any of those games, check it out. It's definitely worth playing if you're just looking for something to do on your phone.
Yep, and now's a good time to do it because when new expansions drop, they generally hand out free packs, free cards to new players. So come on in, join the fun. And then Trent, I believe you were talking about the new hit game that everyone's been playing on Twitch, Fall Guys. You want to go into a little bit about that?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to talk about it if I could ever fucking play. The servers on the PS4.
So I saw it on Steam, and I'm thinking about getting it on there. Because it looks really fun. It's just
It's fun. So if you have a PS4, it's free on PlayStation Plus right now. My buddy Bill actually recommended this to me. He saw a trailer for it. He's like, hey, I think this would be a game that you would like to play. And it's free right now. So he put it on my radar and it's fun. It's a bunch of mini games where you're basically racing to the end of something, or you're fighting to survive and be one of the last people alive. And you play like little jelly bean type characters, and you start off with a 60 player game, and, you're racing to the end of something, and let's say the top 40 advance, and then you go to the next round, top 30 advance, so on and so forth. And you have kind of five rounds where you play. So it's fun. But the frustrating part is the servers are being overloaded right now. And because of that, whenever you try and join a party with your friends, like I try and join with my brothers or my sister, a lot of times it won't place you in a game. And then also at the beginning, when I was sucking and losing all the time, I'd try and exit a game, but I'd be stuck watching somebody for like 15 minutes while they finish the rounds.
I can imagine that the developers were not ready for the influx of people that they got, because the game is getting a lot of attention on multiple streaming platforms right now with like some really like big streamers.
Well, they made it free. Yeah, that was the... Sure.
It's on everything as well.
Yeah.
Like it's literally on every platform.
It's only on PlayStation and Steam currently, actually.
It's not on Xbox?
I don't think it's been released for Xbox yet.
Story of my life.
Yeah, I know, right?
How you like them apples, you little X-bot.
Okay, so anything else on Fall Guys? If not, we're going to move on to Trent's breakdown of Taylor Swift's new album.
Oh, it's going to be real... It's going to be real quick.
You heard it here first, folks.
Yep, go ahead and skip it.
I'm a Taylor Swift fan. Dude, it's boring. Every song sounds the same. It's super slow. And one of our friends, you know, she was talking to us the other day when I mentioned that. She's like, no, it's so good. It's like a whole story from beginning to end. Lyrically, it's amazing. And I'm like, listen, if you like it, that's cool. But... if every song sounds the same, I'm not listening to the lyrics. Like, true. It's just boring. It's a snooze fest.
Yeah. I didn't even know it was coming out, and then it was out. I was like, well, hype.
Also, there's some like magazine or newspaper, like music review journalist that gave it an 8 out of 10. And literally all of the absolutely insane Taylor Swift groupies doxed her.
8 like, out of 10, reasonable.
Yeah.
Let's give it 10 of 10.
So reasonable, yeah. They freaked out. Like, this lady's like, oh, I can't leave my house anymore. And now it's not even safe in my
house. That's embarrassing. Taylor Swift fans, you should be embarrassed of yourselves. If you're involved in
Taylor
that.
Taylor Swift should come out and say something. Right. She should definitely say something.
So as far as music goes, anyway. I wanted to talk about Logic's newest and... actually his final album before going into retirement.
It's really good, and it makes me really sad that he's like actually serious about retiring.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I get it. He wants to kind of move on and focus more on his family life. But he just released his album, No Pressure. It's got the same Logic flow as always, but it's got a lot of the beats have heavy lo-fi inspiration, which I really like lo-fi hip-hop beats. I listen to that regularly just to kind of chill out. So I really like the beats that he has on most of his tracks. And some of the big ones that stuck out to me were Hit My Line.
Love Perfect. Hit My Line. That's my favorite song.
Yeah, Hit My Line's the best one. And then I really like Perfect. And then Man I Is. So those are the big three stars off the album that I think are super good.
Hell yeah. It's a good album. I played all the way through it. It's pretty interesting. Gets heavy at points.
I'd say it's a strong finisher for him, for his career. And who knows, he may come back in the future. But until then, it's been fun, Logic.
I hope he does. I love me some Logic. So there was an EP by one of my favorite artists that I didn't even know had dropped. I feel like an idiot. Grizz. He's a electronic funk artist out of Denver, Colorado. And... his Bangers 5 EP is sick. And specifically, if you want to listen to a song that's going to knock your socks off, My Friends and I Part 3 goes so hard. I just got shown it this week. I don't know where I was at. Prior to hearing that, I had another song that I was going to recommend, which I also very much like, called Dancin', the Chrono remix by originally by Aaron Smith. So both those songs, check them out. I feel like an idiot. This Grizz EP has been out for a minute. Like, it's been out since I think earlier, like January of this year. So anyways, moving forward, again, one more plug. Check us out on Instagram and Twitter, GeekPeakPod, at GeekPeakPod, excuse me. And then Facebook.com/GeekPeakPodcast. Next week, we are going to be doing an episode. Just bear with me for a second. Close your eyes and think back to the beautiful times in the 90s. You're sitting there over the summer in the 90s. You just got out of school. It's been 1 or 2 weeks on summer break. You're watching all the cartoons. You're eating cereal in the mornings. You're hanging out with all your friends. You're riding your bike. You're doing all the hood rat shit that you did in the 90s. What cartoons were you watching back in the 90s and even early 2000s? We'll go that far. We're going to be discussing all of our favorite cartoon movies and TV shows next week on our newest episode. It's going to be a 90s cartoon summer revisit. Definitely be sure to catch it. And at that point, I think we're pretty much wrapped up. I hope you guys have a great Shark Week. Don't get bit if you're out in the water, for all our Florida friends and coastal people. Don't let the sharks get too smart like Planet of the Apes. And Trent, Brandon, you guys got anything to tell our friends out there?
Be good to each other. I love you all, and spread us around.
Yeah, I hope you guys are really able to sink your teeth into this episode.
Peel your lips back in a disturbing manner.
You guys stay jawsome. All
right, wrap it up
there. All right, we're going to climb off this mountaintop. We'll see you guys next time on the next episode of the Geek Peak.